We are studying this quarter, Prophets and Prophecies in the Bible. What exactly is a prophet? One who speaks for another. That's what a prophet is. What's a prophetess? It's a woman who speaks like your wife. She speaks for you all the time. That's true. That's absolutely true. So we've got prophets, prophecies, and prophetesses. How many prophetesses are there in the Bible? Are there prophetesses in the Bible? And what do we do about women prophets? Women? I don't think I want to know what he said. What do we do when we come to the Scripture and we read about women in the Old Testament? Miriam was called a prophet. Huldah was called a prophet. Deborah was called a prophet. New Testament, Anna was called a prophet. In the church, there were those women who prophesied. If there are women who are prophets or women who prophesy, how does that compare with what the Bible says about women being preachers? What does that say about the role that God has given to women in the church? If we have these women who are prophets, and then God has a role for women, how do those two things compare? Nicole?
They could have been speaking only to women.
They could have been speaking only to women. What? Okay, those are in the Old Testament. All right. What about, this one? New Testament, women speaking in the church and prophesying. What do you do about that? Joe?
You go to Daniel.
Okay. That's what it says. In Joel chapter 2, which Peter quotes in Acts chapter 2 and verse 18, God says that your sons and your daughters will prophesy, your men servants and your maid servants will prophesy. Okay. What do we do? You get to 1 Timothy chapter 2. What does God say in 1 Timothy 2 and verse 12? God says, I do not permit a woman to teach or to have authority over a man. God says, I do not permit a woman to teach over a man or to have authority over a man. Dirk? Possibly, but the message that was being conveyed, whether you talk about Moses as the prophet of God or Daniel or David or whoever it might be, these are people who are publicly proclaiming the message of God. Okay? It is true that it was not their message, the prophet's message. Peter said in 2 Peter chapter 1, in verse 20, knowing this first, that no prophecy of Scripture ever came by the will of man. This isn't ours. He said that it always came by the will of God. Holy men of God spoke as they were moved by the Holy Spirit. Ruth? They were not necessarily speaking in the assembly of the church, were they? She asks. No. Let's look at this. I do not permit a woman, God says, to teach or to exercise authority over a man. And the rest of the verse says, but to be in silence. What kind of teaching or preaching? Would prophecy be teaching and preaching? What kind of teaching or preaching is not permitted by God in 1 Timothy chapter 2 and verse 12? Preaching or teaching over a man. Exercising dominion or authority over a man in a public assembly. God says, I do not permit for that to happen. But we read about prophets, or we read about prophetesses, what does a prophetess do? Well, wouldn't she maybe do the same thing that a prophet does? And when you read about these ladies in Acts 21 and verse 9 who were prophesying, How do you handle that? Betsy? Another word in the Old Testament for prophets was seer. Okay? And so they were conveying, they were relaying the messages that had been given to them. So that's one way that you might be able to approach it and to look at it. Does the Bible prohibit the woman from teaching? Period. And so just a few examples. Titus 2 says that the women are to teach the younger women. So they must be allowed to teach. In the assembly, the Bible says that we are teaching one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs. Who's doing that? Everybody. So is a woman not permitted to teach in the assembly? Well, if you make that statement, then you rule out the women singing in the assembly. What does God say? To teach or to exercise authority over a man. What about Aquila and Priscilla in Acts chapter 18? What does it say happened in Acts 18 and verse 26? Here was Apollos, knew only the baptism of John. Aquila and Priscilla, does it say both of their names? Yes, it does. Does it use a third person plural pronoun when it says they took him aside and taught him the way of the Lord more perfectly? Who did the teaching? The only thing we know from the verse is that they did the teaching. Did Aquila do most of the teaching? And Priscilla, you know, maybe she just turned to the pages in the Bible. Hey, Vicky Fry, how you doing? It's good to see you. How's your husband? Still sick? Not good. Glad Vicky's here. All right, now, sorry, I just saw her. Vicky Fry is here, by the way, from Paraguay. Got in last night, and her husband got sick. So, where were we? What do you do with these passages that talk about... And do the passages about a woman prophet, a prophetess, do they somehow contradict or do away with what God says is the role of women? Tasha? Okay. If we, and I think that's what kind of where Dirk was going, and kind of what Ruth was saying too, or was it Betsy? Maybe it was Betsy saying if she is just the mouthpiece of God, then does that remove her from the problem of that's apparently created by 1 Timothy 2? If she's just the mouthpiece, then it's not really her words; it's God's words. Well, if we take that and apply it to today, we don't have the miraculous revelation of God being given to any man, woman, child, or person today. The only revelation that we have from God is the final and complete revelation that we have in this book. Would it be permissible then for a woman to take the Bible and in the assembly to stand and to read the scripture to the assembly of the church during worship? It's not her words. They're words that are just coming straight from God. Right? If there's no commentary with it, it's words that are coming straight from God. And so all she would be doing would be reading it. Would that be any different than reciting? If they're words implanted in your head or words that are written on a page, they're the same words. Absolutely. We have the completed revelation now, so there's no need for a woman or a man to prophesy. But if it's the same words, would there be a difference in a woman prophesying in a public assembly or just reading those words in a public assembly? Would there have been a difference in the first century? Maybe a woman's not a prophet. Maybe she doesn't have the gift of prophecy. She's got some other gift. Would it have been okay in the first century assembly for the woman to stand up and prophesy and then another woman to stand up and read the scroll of Isaiah? But they're doing the same thing, right? Johnny, you had your hand up, and then I think Norm did. Okay, that's a strong point that with a prophet or a prophetess. This was a person that was divinely appointed and selected by God for that work. Okay, Norm. Okay, well, I think that's what we're trying to emphasize, is that public teaching in the formal position of a teacher with a man, with a woman in a formal position of teaching, the man in the subordinated position of the student, is that what God is talking about in 1 Timothy chapter 2? Are we talking, is there a difference? What happens in Acts chapter 18? We're asking a lot of questions here, and we're going to answer them, but I want us to think about this. What happens in Acts chapter 18? They take Apollos, they teach him the way more perfectly. Did they do that in a public setting? Did they get up and preach the message, the two of them together? They took him aside. Sounds like a private conversation. Sounds like just the few of them sitting and talking about the Bible. What happens when a person stands up in front of a group of people? You mean I got authority right now? I don't feel like it. Who's in charge? Who's leading the discussion? Who's the one who's calling on and ignoring other hands? Right, Carol? I haven't even called on you yet. So who gets to decide, Darren, if I don't call on you or not? When someone stands before an audience, do they have to speak? If they're the one standing, at what point do they gain authority? At what point have they become the one who is in charge? When they stand up. Okay, Carol, go ahead. Question. Which one? God would not tell women to do something and then turn right around and tell them not to do it. We're going to come back and talk about that. Darren? Not necessarily. Not always. Depending on the prophet and depending on the setting, when these men were speaking in languages that they had not studied, it was, as David said, the word of the Lord was on my tongue. It was God's word that was being proclaimed. Now, could they stop it? Could they control it? Could they stop the words coming out of their mouth? Yes. Read 1 Corinthians chapter 14. The prophets could shut up and sit down so that another prophet could stand up. Wait a minute. How could he stop? He could stop it. Could Balaam control it? Now, that's probably not a good story, right? Because now we're going to talk about some kind of a donkey who had more sense than the man, right? Huh? Could Jonah control it? Go preach to Nineveh. Well, I don't think so. I'll go the other way. Let's look at some of these prophetesses real quick. Okay? This is real quick. Miriam, called a prophetess in the Old Testament. You know who the Bible tells us she prophesied to? Women. That's all we know. There's a verse that says she was a prophetess, and who goes out with her? The women. That's all we know about Miriam being a prophetess. What about, is Huldah the next one? What about Huldah in 2 Kings chapter 22? By the way, if you're looking for a name for your grandchild, there you go, Huldah. All right? 2 Kings chapter 22. She's called a prophetess. What did she do? There were some men that King Josiah sent to ask her some questions. And so she's there and they ask her some questions and she gives them the answer. Ladies, if you're at work and a man comes to you and says, "Do I really have to be baptized in order to be saved?" Are you allowed to answer that question? Or do you have to get a man to come and answer that question for you? Can you answer that question? Yes. Going to all the world and here's somebody who needs the gospel. Be ready always to give an answer, but that's only for men, right? Does that apply to women? Yeah. They always know the answer better than we do anyway, right? We have to be ready to give an answer. So if a man asks you a question about the Bible at work, can you answer it? Are you exercising authority over him? If you sit down and say, "Well, why don't you look at Mark 16:16? What does that say?" Have you taken a public authority? Are you taking a position of public authority over that man? No more than Priscilla did in Acts chapter 18. For those women who have been faithful Christians and married to a man who was not a Christian, would it be okay for her to tell him what he needed to do to get his life right with the Lord? Sure. Would it be okay for her to do that from the pulpit and to preach it to him? God draws a line of difference between those two things. What about Anna in the New Testament? We only have about 3 or 4 verses on Anna. She's in the New Testament called a prophetess, and we are told about her that she did not depart from the temple. Were women allowed in every part of the temple? She didn't depart from the temple. She could only go as far as the court of women and could not go any further. Where's the verse in why does that say Luke chapter 22? That's pretty lousy. She's not in Luke chapter 22. Sorry. What does the Bible tell us? Because that's when Jesus dies, and Anna is when Jesus is born. Wrong. Too many numbers up there. What does the Bible tell us that Anna prophesied? All we know is what? She was in the temple. She couldn't have got any further than the court of women. What men did she prophesy to? In Luke's account, what women did she prophesy to? Luke 2. Do we know that she prophesied to any men? No, it doesn't tell us. So just because someone is called a prophetess, here's 3 of them who we have absolutely no evidence that they ever spoke publicly before a group of men or any men in the assembly. So here's prophetesses, women who are called to prophesy in the New Testament. As someone has already said, I think it was Johnny, these people were chosen by God. This was a divine decree that these people were to go and to fulfill the duty that God has given to them, but they acted only upon and by the authority of the Lord. They spoke forth the word that the Lord gave to them. They served in a capacity that He chose for them, but we have no examples anywhere that these prophetesses ever spoke publicly before an assembly that had men in it. So for someone to come and look at a prophetess and say, looky here, here's a woman who was called a prophetess, so that must mean that there can be women preachers today. There's no way to stretch it and to say that that a woman today could be a prophetess. Because even in the New Testament, those women who prophesied, 1 Corinthians 11, Acts 21, those were miraculous gifts given by the Holy Spirit for the purpose of confirming the word that was being presented in order, and it would only last, 1 Corinthians 13, verses 8 through 12, they would only last until the perfect, final, completed revelation of God came. And once this came, those gifts would cease. So, no, there's not a man or a woman on the earth today who can be called a prophet or a prophetess in some miraculous sense. But if a woman could be a prophet in the Old Testament and the New Testament, would that give the right for a woman to stand up and preach today? Well, a prophetess would received a miraculous revelation from God, Old Testament or New Testament. In Acts chapter 2, the fulfillment began to be completed that your sons and your daughters, your men servants, your maid servants, they are going to receive miraculous revelations from God. Acts chapter 21 and verse 9. 1 Corinthians chapter 11 and verse 5. There were those women who were prophesying. But not one of those occasions. And Betsy, you are right that we don't read about that as something that was to continue. Because we don't read about any prophecy continuing. 1 Corinthians chapter 13, verses 10, 11, and 12 says that whether there be prophecies, they shall cease. Whether there be tongues, they will vanish. So here are the miraculous gifts that would be done away with when the completed revelation of God came. So we come back to God's overriding principle in 1 Timothy chapter 2. and you compare 1 Corinthians chapter 14 and verses 34 and 35 with 1 Timothy chapter 2, 11 and 12. 1 Timothy 2, God says, I do not permit a woman to teach over or to have authority over a man. Would a woman standing up before an assembly of people today have any kind of authority? Yes, and you said it, by the mere fact of standing up before an assembly, there is a position of authority. What about these men who stand behind this table up here on Sundays? They don't say a word, you know, unless somebody steps on their toe. They don't say a word. Are they in some kind of a position of authority? I heard yeses and I heard noes. That's interesting. Are they in a position of authority? Are they standing before a group of people? What if they had uniforms on? Would that help? If we stuck some what if Gorman loaned him his sidearm? Okay, if they're up here in uniform and they all have sidearms on, do they all of a sudden have authority? Why all of a sudden do you say they have authority? Because they got a gun. Anybody who's got a gun's got authority. Anybody who stands up before a group is in a position of authority. What's cultural? Okay. Standing up is cultural. Jesus sat down to teach. So what position, not physically, what position was Jesus in when he taught the multitudes? When Jesus got done with the Sermon on the Mount in Matthew chapter 5, 6, and 7, when Jesus got done preaching, they recognized that there was something different about him. The Bible says in Matthew chapter 5 and verse 1, he went up on the mountain, and when he was seated, his disciples came to him and he preached. He got done in Matthew chapter 7, verses 28 and 29, and they said, this man speaks as one having authority and not as the scribes. So yes, the position is not one of a physical nature necessarily, but it is one of what? How you present yourself. Nicole, do you always stand up before your classes? Brenda, are you always standing? Well, I guess you have to. If you're going to chase the kids, you can't be sitting down. But who's in charge? You know, even in school, the teacher, when I was there, used to sit behind a desk. I don't know if you're allowed to do that anymore. And it didn't matter, young or old, male or female, that person was in charge. Gwen, do you ever sit down in your class? Does that mean you've lost control? Well, maybe you have lost control. I don't know. Maybe it's when you're lying down that something's wrong. Johnny, somebody else had their hand up. Betsy, you want your hand up? Johnny, you can put your hand up. Go. Yes. Right. 1 Corinthians chapter 11, Betsy's talking about verses 5, 6, and 7, where it talks about the fact that the head of man is Christ. The head of the woman is the man, and the head of the man is Christ. And that goes right along with what the Bible says. How much time we got? 8 minutes. Look in 1 Corinthians. Go to 1 Timothy chapter 2. And while we're going there, Johnny, go ahead and make your comment. 1 Timothy chapter 2. Okay. In 1 Timothy chapter 2, what was the reason? But lest we don't cover this and we leave here and we think, well, the role of women was just some cultural thing that God put into place in the first century, and it doesn't apply today. 1 Timothy chapter 2, verse 12, the Bible says, I do not permit a woman to teach or to have authority over a man, but to be in silence. Does God give any reason for that? Or was that just some arbitrary thing that he came up with on the spur of the moment? Oh, you mean there's more to that verse? There's more to that passage than just verse 12? What is the first word that you have in verse 13? For. F-O-U-R or F-O-R? So in verse 12, he says, I do not permit a woman to speak or to have authority over man, but to be in silence. For, here's the reason. Does God have to give us a reason for what he tells us? No. Do you have to give your children reasons for what you told them to do? Not if they knew what was good for them, right?
In today's society, though.
God says, I don't permit this. And he could have put a period, the chapter could have ended, the book could have ended, the Bible could have ended, and we just do it because God says it, right? But he gives us the reason. What's the reason? Adam was formed first, then Eve. Why is it that 1 Corinthians 11 says that the head of woman is the man? Because God's a male chauvinist? Is that why? Because Paul wrote that and Paul couldn't get a woman, so he was just a male chauvinist, and so he was just putting the women down? Is that? You pick up some commentaries and that's what they say. Why do we have this? Oh, you're getting to verse 14. Well, let's stay in verse 13. I'm trying to do the first part now. Verse 13 says, this is the reason because God made man first. And then somebody says, yes. And then he saw what he did wrong, and then he made the woman so that everything was right. All right, that's what we think. God made Adam first, and then he formed Eve. And is that it? That could be enough, right? But in case we forgot, verse 14 says, and, add to that in verse 13, Adam was not deceived, but the woman, being deceived, totally deceived, fell into transgression. When God stated in 1 Timothy chapter 2 and verse 12, his command and his permission for the role of men, go back up to verse 8. Where does God want men to pray? Where does God want men to lead prayers? Who's on it? This is the Greek word that means male, not female. Everywhere. Why is that? Because that's God's desire. Verse 12, here's what I don't permit a woman to do. Why is that, God? Because I made man first and then I made woman. Is that all, God? No, that's not all. The woman was deceived and she fell into transgression. What did God say to Eve in Genesis chapter 3? What did he say to Eve about her relationship to her husband? Was she going to rule over him? No, not quite. Because of her sin and falling into transgression of the devil, her desire was going to be towards her husband. He, Ephesians chapter 5 and verse 23, Christ is the head of the church. It's the same thing, the Bible says there, as the husband is the head of the wife. I know there's some people that don't like that verse, but that verse is there nevertheless. Johnny asked about Acts 21 and verse 9. When you look at Acts chapter 21, you have, this is right after Paul has been speaking to the elders from the church at Ephesus in Acts chapter 20. And you get to chapter 21 and they're trying to tell Paul not to go to Jerusalem because he's going to be arrested. And you have Agabus who says, you know, you go down there and they're going to bind you and all of that. Acts chapter 21, verse 7, when we had finished our voyage from Tyre, we came to Ptolemais, greeted the brethren and stayed with them one day. On the next day, we who were Paul's companions departed and came to Caesarea and entered the house of Philip the evangelist, who was one of the seven, and stayed with him. Now this man had four virgin daughters who prophesied. And as we stayed many days, a certain prophet named Agabus came down from Judea. So here is one of those examples we had on there, Acts 2 and verse 18, Acts 21 and verse 9, 1 Corinthians 11 and verse 5. We're on that first slide. Who does it say that these four virgins prophesied to? It doesn't. So can we come to the verse and say that they prophesied, they spoke publicly to men? Can we say that? No. We have no verse. No verse of any of the prophetesses in Old Testament or New Testament who say that the woman spoke in any way to violate 1 Timothy chapter 2. The only men that we know they spoke to was in a private setting. Trudy?
We have to be silent where the Bible is.
We've got to be silent where the Bible is silent. Look at these last 2 points. I know you've already read them. I got 2 minutes and I want to get to one more thing. These prophetesses worked within the confines of the Lord's will. They did not violate any of God's principles concerning women. This is what Carol said right here. God is not going to lead someone or cause someone to violate what he has said. If God has placed parameters, principles, boundaries in which God wants us to live and to act and to worship and to serve, is he then going to give a special permission to somebody to violate what he just said? That would violate his own nature. And God doesn't do that. I didn't know we were going to have so much fun talking about all of this. I wanted us to get to talk about Deborah tonight in the Old Testament in Judges chapter 4. Because Deborah is the most well-known of all of the prophetesses. All right? We've talked about some of them that we may not know. But we go to the Old Testament. Who is the woman judge? Deborah. What else is she in Judges 4, chapter 4, verse 4? She's a judge and she's a prophetess. But when you read Judges chapter 4 and 5, do we have any example, any evidence at all that she prophesied, that she spoke publicly to any men? The only example we have, and go and read it tonight, but look in Judges chapter 4, verses 4 and 5, where it says that as a judge she was sitting and she received those who came to her for judgment. That's the same thing as somebody coming and asking you a question at work. Those are the people she spoke to. Who else did she speak to? To Barak. What did she do with Barak? In a one-on-one conversation, she said, Barak, you remember what God said? Hop to it, buddy. We need to do that. Is that in a public setting? Is there any violation of 1 Timothy chapter 2? I know that's the Old Testament. But the point is, we can't even go to the Old Testament to find an example of somebody violating what God says in the New Testament in 1 Timothy chapter 2. I can't believe that it's 8-0 whatever it is. Any other questions or comments that we have not sewn up yet? We need to spend some more time on the role of women here. I think that's needed. Because there's a lot of questions in that regard. And the only thing that we can do is just to come back to the Bible and say, okay, what does it say? You know, it's not in any way a desire to put women down. Do you hear that? And it's not in any way saying that women are inferior. Did God ever say that women are inferior? No. Did he ever say that they're less significant than a man? How did God get his son into the world? Through a man or a woman? He couldn't trust a man with that job, could he? Women are not inferior. Women are not inferior. But God has given us each a special role and a special place to play in his kingdom. And it's up to us to exercise that to its fullest to bring glory to God. All right, we got to go. The bell's rung.